Would you take out your Bible, please? Take out your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have some in the back. If you want to slip up your hand, and there will be ushers who can get a Bible for you. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And this is going to pick up on a theme that we talked about last Sunday morning. God does more than what you expect. God does more than what you expect. It's not how big is your faith. It's how big is your God. I want you to think about that for a minute. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus inside of you? If you've surrendered your life by faith, been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of all glory lives and dwells inside of you by faith. The cross already won the war. How many are glad that Jesus is powerful and he lives inside of you? Come on, someone say amen. What do you expect? What do you really believe? Do you think he sees you, knows you, hears you? When you're suffering and hurting, when you're rejoicing and glad, when the tests come, what do you believe? Do you move confidently forward in faith, or are you shaken? When the devil lies to you, and he will, because as we studied last week, the scripture tells us that the devil is a liar, a cheat, and a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing good in mind for you. So if what you're listening to, if you're listening to a voice that brings you closer to Jesus, you're doing all right. If you're listening to a voice or picking up on something that takes you away from Jesus and weakens you in your faith, how many know that's not God? I said, how many know that's not God? Jesus wants you to be strong, full of joy and rejoicing in him. He's with you when you hurt. He's with you when you rejoice. And the devil has to flee in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the devil now in the name of Jesus. Every bit of confusion has to flee in the name of Jesus. Truth, righteousness. The lie is gone, but truth and righteousness in Jesus prevails. Amen? So when the devil lies to you, you rebuke him, and he flees. The scripture says, listen to it again, rebuke the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible says he walks around as a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He walks around as a roaring lion. He might make a loud noise and try to gum you to death, but Jesus defanged him. You all with me? Jesus defanged him. Not only did Jesus die at the cross, but he was buried, and church, he rose again in triumph over the devil. So what do you believe? What do you expect? How great is your God? It's not how big is your faith. I just can't feel the faith right now. It's not how big is your faith. It's how big is your God. And that's the one in whom we trust. What does the Bible say? We'll get to Acts 12, but Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I'm going to do it in a couple of translations. Now to him who is able to do, watch, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. How long? Come on, how long? Forever. Watch it out of the Passion. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now, if your request is all personal, I want to have my own Learjet gold-trimmed gold seats, and I want to have all the Cadillacs, and I want them to all be mine. That might not be an answer that gets a prayer that gets answered, right? So you want to focus your prayers and thoughts on what Jesus wants for us. But the Bible says he does above and beyond all that we ask or think. Now, we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. How many know God loves to take you by surprise? You know, anybody like surprise parties? How many don't like surprise parties? Some of you. Anyway, God loves to take us by surprise, and sometimes He does take us by surprise. I had a time this week. I've had something going on. I'm not a bank robber, but I've had something in my life where there was a test in my soul. There was something happening in the last 30 days, and I even got a letter. I got a letter earlier in the week, and this letter said, "We are not going to do this for you." It was with the business situation out here in town, but "we are not doing this for you." And they were wrong, by the way. How many know that's always the case? That's always the case. But they were wrong. "Yeah, we are not going to do this for you." So, being a man of faith and power, I was concerned. But I started praying. We started praying. Called some people to pray, shared what was going on with some folks so we could have some prayer. The next day, I got up and said, "Well, I'm going to try one more time." I called these people, and I let them have... No, I didn't. But I called these people, and I said, "You know, this just isn't right. Put me on hold." Don't you love being on hold? If it was like this morning, it's okay. Depends on the music. So I'm on hold, and another guy comes back on. He goes, "Now, who do you want to talk to?" "I want to talk to this guy I spent an hour and a half with on the phone a month ago. I want to talk to him." And because he was a great guy. He couldn't do anything for me, but he was a great guy. Made me feel better. Anyway, so I'm trying to get through, and another guy comes on the phone. He says, "I'm sorry, and I can't get you through to him. He's swamped. He's busy." And I'm sitting there going, just like you would, right? You're sitting there going, "Yeah, right. He's busy. He's just not taking my call." Anyway, believe it or not, I'm hamming it up, but I had a lot of peace in the Lord. I did. I had a lot of peace in the Lord. I just knew this wasn't right. And so I'm waiting, and I thank this gentleman for his time. Next thing you know, he comes back on the line, and here's what he says. He says, "Kevin, I just don't think it's going to be worthwhile to pursue this anymore." I went, "Excuse me?" Says, "It's not going to be worthwhile because we have done exactly what you needed us to do, and we've changed it all right here in our records. It's all great, and everything's cool." I went, "Excuse me?" Well, thank you. Well, so we can believe that God can do things, and sometimes tests come to see, are you going to walk through this storm? Are you going to be all right? Are you going to trust that God gives you the dominion no matter what the situation? Sometimes it may not always go like that. This time God did this for me, and I just was full of joy and rejoicing about it as we trust in Him. But watch, I want to take you into a pattern in the Scripture. I want to take us through a section of the Scripture in Acts chapter 12 that will teach us some of the principles of God and how God can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Number one, we sometimes need to understand that there is a constant attack. Now, I spell capital J-E-S-U-S when I spell the Lord's name. And I spell the devil small case, S-A-T-A-N, because Jesus has the power. But there is an attack that comes in our lives. And you hear things like, "You're no good. You blew this. You'll never make it. You can't accomplish it." And the media all proclaims about you as Christians, "You're bad," and twists everything around. "We don't need the church. They don't want your Christian presence and your witness." But can you believe that God can still do above and beyond all that we ask or think? Do you believe it? Come on, say it with me. Above and beyond. Watch the Scripture. Now, about that time, Acts chapter 12, see it in your own Bible if you've got it. Acts 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass, out of the New King James. In the Greek, that literally means to injure and to exasperate. His purpose was to injure and exasperate some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, the Passover time, if you will. Some treat it and talk about it as Easter, but it's the Passover in their celebration. during the days of unleavened bread. Now, verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. The church is growing. The people, the Jewish people, didn't like it. This great news of Jesus was spreading, and the church was growing. And so persecution came on about the same time. Now, the context of this verse, it was about 44 to 47 A.D. And the gospel was being preached even in the midst of terrific persecution. Their church was absolutely no stopping Jesus. Come on, say that with me. There is no stopping Jesus. Turn to each other and say that. There's no stopping Jesus. The devil tried to wipe him out when he took him to the cross and thought he had victory. But God had a better plan in mind. He was buried and then he took our punishments upon himself. And then, thank God, he rose from the dead. And that's a resurrection theme that gives us strength and victory every day. Now persecution tries to wipe out the church. But the stupidity, the ignorance of the devil, is that all it did is spread the message of the gospel even further and even more. Now, Herod the king, just so you understand in context, let me just talk about this for a moment. Herod the king is Herod Agrippa the first, and he was the grandson of Herod the Great. So you see your context in Acts 12. And Herod the Great attempted to put the Lord Jesus to death, you'll remember, at the time of Jesus' birth. And Herod the Great was an incredible builder. He built all sorts of massive buildings, but the people didn't really care about him very much. But this now is his grandson. And his mother, Mariamne, was a Hasmonean princess. She was Jewish as well as Idumean, the countries. And this was in contrast to Herod the Great. And so he was partially Jewish. So this Herod Agrippa became very popular with the Jewish people. He was pro-Pharisee. He even frequented the temple. His sister, you'll remember the name as you read your scripture, was Herodias. And Herodias had been responsible for John the Baptist, remember? For that death, when the daughter danced, and what would you like? I want the head of John the Baptist. This was his sister. Herod Agrippa was partially Jewish. The Romans had appointed him to rule over most of Palestine. He had most of the land and the rulership that his grandfather had had. In this section of Scripture, when somebody was killed by the sword, literally what it means is they were beheaded by the sword. We're seeing that happen in other countries now again and through our days, and it's just a vicious thing. But in that day, this was considered a merciful killing rather than being crucified. But it was a beheading. But James, the brother of John, how many remember James and John? Those two who said, Lord, we want to sit on either side of you. And Jesus' answer to them was, are you ready to drink the cup of suffering that I am drinking? And they did. They did have to drink that. And this man was beheaded. He was the first apostle of the original 12 who was killed. And guess what? His brother John was the last after he had been sent to the island of Patmos and then released probably in Ephesus. He died of an old age, but the first and the last to die. But beheading was the form of punishment that happened to James. And that pleased the Jewish people so much that he then took the guy that everybody saw representing Christianity. How many know Peter was a big guy that everybody saw walking down the street and he represented Jesus? How many feel like Peter's life ever gives them some hope? You read the scriptures and you see the impetuousness sometimes and the things that he does, the things that he says. And honestly, it gives me hope that if God can work with him, he can continue to work with me. So what we have is Agrippa 1 residing in Jerusalem. Luke doesn't mention the specific place of Peter's imprisonment, but it probably was in the fortress Antonia, which was right next to the temple. And so he's there, and he's delivered into a group of 16 soldiers. Four soldiers guarded him during four parts of the day. And he is chained. Now, he is chained between two guards, or at a time, And he's chained, he's watched, he's behind double gates and double doors. There is no human way of escaping. There's no way out of the problem. Come on. There's no way out of the problem. I said there's no way out of the problem. Anybody in this room ever been in problems? Have you ever thought sometimes, there ain't no way out of this? They're humanly possible. There ain't no way. I know you're a big God, but there's no getting out of this, Lord. It's incredible. But God. Say it with me. But God. Again. But God. Turn to each other. I know I'm asking for a lot of feedback this morning. Turn to each other and say, but God. But God. Constant prayer. When you're under constant attack, how many know there's power in prayer? Constant prayer. Acts 12, verses 5 and 6. Peter was therefore kept in prison. What we're looking at is, how did they need Jesus to help them in the early church? It's the same way we need him to help us today. And the same God who did above and beyond all they could ask or think does that for us today. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but, say it with me please, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was what? Come on, Peter was what? How many get a kick out of Peter? Fell asleep in the garden. Jesus said, can't you stay awake for 1 hour? And can you, you know, I mean, it was a desperate time. Can't you stay awake? And you can just see Peter's eyes going, I'll give him my best, Lord. And so here he is. It's the night before he's going to be killed. And Peter is chained between guards. There's no hope. Except Peter's hope was in Jesus. Whether he lived, whether he died, Jesus was his Lord and the one he loved. So whether he's gone or whether he's here, he's in good shape. So he was asleep. He was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Constant prayer, fervent prayer, never ceasing pray. When we pray, do we pray, folks, in faith, believing? I know it's not how big is our faith, it's how big is our God. But when we see how big God is, we get to pray in faith, believing. Do you know God sees? Do you know, even in your worst times, God hears you, and he loves you, and he sees you, and he knows you? And God will act on our behalf. Can I ask you a personal question? Anybody mind? Yeah, thanks, George. I'll ask you this personal question. Can you be honest with me? You know? You ever prayed some really dorky prayers? Come on. Have you really ever just prayed some really stupid stuff? You look back later and you go, man, thank God he didn't answer that one. You know, have you ever been there? I've been there. Meaning this, sometimes we are so agitated of soul and we don't understand what the Lord is doing. But with sincerity of heart, we cry out and we ask God to intervene. And sometimes we think he's slow. And sometimes we think he doesn't see. And sometimes we think he doesn't hear us. I want you to know this morning, as your pastor, I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you, he sees you, he knows you, and he is always on the move. He always knows. Can we trust him? Even in the darkest hour. Can we trust him? Peter was sleeping, chained between two guards. At that moment in his life, it couldn't get any worse in his physical life. Double guards, double gates, humanly speaking, no escape. He's going to be killed. He knows, he already knows, James's life was taken. But this is the night he was about getting ready to die. And he's sound asleep. He slept in prison before and escaped. Remember in Acts chapter 5? Remember, the angel comes up and kind of beats him on the side to wake him up, and he escapes out of prison. Peter has been through this, and he's the picture of peace and trust in the Lord. If he died again, he was better off. If he lived, he could serve Jesus. Either way, Peter was a sold-out servant of God, the same God who can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Fervent, constant prayers going up. You're under constant attack. Constant prayer is the answer because you have a constant God who constantly hears. He's not pacing the floor. He couldn't. He was chained. So what happens now? Constant answers. Constant answers. It wasn't how long. Wasn't how loud he prayed. Wasn't how well he prayed. Anybody ever felt like, man, I just don't pray well enough. I'm not good enough at this. Not a professional prayer. I'd rather have somebody who's not a professional prayer pray for me. You know what I'm saying? The sincerity of heart is what God... You know, I love Peter again. How many remember Peter getting out of the boat? He sees Jesus on the water, and he says, Lord, if that's you, have me come to you. And Jesus says, okay, come. So he starts off, he's walking on the water, he gets out of the boat, he's doing great, and all of a sudden, he looks down, sees the agitated waters. What starts to happen to Peter? And he starts to sink, and then he goes into a half-hour theological prayer. Dearly beloved Lord, I know that you canst, if thou wilt, pray and help. How many know that's not what Peter did? Peter prayed the best prayer he could have prayed. Help! And sometimes that's the best prayer we can pray. Right, church? Help, Lord. Help me. Constant answers. There's always something you can do, even when you feel he doesn't see. Keep talking to him. Keep sharing your heart with him. Watch the scripture. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. Now, I love Peter. This is a beacon light, man. This is as bright as it could get. Probably somebody somewhere was watching this glowing light. Not Peter. He's sound asleep. So the angel of the Lord stood by him, and he struck Peter on the side. I just love this. And he raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And read it with me, please. And his chains fell off his head. Don't you know there's no hope? Don't you know? Remember Job's wife in the Old Testament, being the faith encouragement lady she was, said, why don't you curse God and die, Job? How many pray you'll never have encouragers like that in your life? Yeah. His chains fell off his hands. It was bigger than what he had a right to expect to happen. The angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. So he did. He got quite a scene. The Greek word here, the shining light, the Greek word is lampo. What word do you think we get from that? Lampo. Lamp. Yeah, lampo. That's the word we get from it, lampo. Anyway, the light shines, and it literally means it radiated brilliantly. The shining of the Lord, and the angel standing there, and he's sound asleep, and he's got to stir him, he's got to strike him to get him to wake up and rouse him. And it's incredible. Not only is Peter not agitated, but he's so at peace, he's sleeping soundly, just like Jesus did in the bow of the boat the first time when the disciples had trouble on the waters. Second time, he wasn't in the boat, he walked on the water toward them. But when you're in constant attack, be in constant prayer and understand that God gives constant answers. And when he gives you those answers, do what he tells you to do. When miracles come, follow him. Acts 12, 8 through 11. And he said, put on your garment and follow me. He didn't lay around. He didn't say, forget it. I'm not really seeing this. He got on his coat and he followed him. That's travel talk. Be ready to do. Be ready to do what Jesus shows you to do. Follow him immediately when he says, get up and do it. Get up and do it when his answer comes. Remember, God does above and beyond all we can ask or think. So he went out and he followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. thought he was seeing a vision. How many know if he thought this was a vision, this was a man used to seeing some incredible visions. It's pretty incredible. That's powerful. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When God answers, church, no door can stay shut. When God speaks, that settles it. When God gives the word, when God does it, it's settled on the cross of Calvary. Your victory is established on the cross of Calvary. His healing. Now, sometimes His provision is more than our practice. How many are growing to be more like Jesus? Sure. Sometimes He answers prayer a little differently than we think or that we would want. But He answers. And watch this, verse 11. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent His angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod, from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Constant prayer is heard. What do we have now? Constant family. Say that with me, will you? Just like Bill read about this morning, the family. Thank God we're in the family of God. No matter what, no matter what, stick with God's people. When tough times come, stick with God's people. When confusing times come, stick with God's people. When God does something different than you thought He was going to, hang in there. Don't run away, but stick with God's people. And trust that He knows what He's doing. He is able to get you from point A to point B. And sometimes it's differently than we thought it was going to be. Do you know what? When I was a younger man, I never knew I'd live in Port Ludlow. Never knew. How many knew you were going to live in Port Ludlow or Port Hadlock or Port... How many knew? Well, some of you have been here all your life. Sherry always knew because she's been here since she was a 10-year-old girl, even when they were going to retire here. So, guess what? Good job on retiring, honey. At least you're in Ludlow. Oh, gosh. Constant family. Watch. This is so cool. I just love this section. I just think the Lord does have a sense of humor. Now, you got to put yourself in Peter's moccasins or Peter's sandals. You just got to put yourself in them. Watch what the Scripture says in Acts chapter 12, 12 through 15. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary. Now, by the way, Mary was undoubtedly a person of substance. They said that this house was probably near to the upper Jerusalem area. And this was a large place because a lot of people were gathered here. Now you got to get a load of the scenario here. They're probably surrounded by, this house is probably surrounded by official Jewish leaders and some of the high priests where they live were in this area. And the Jewish people didn't necessarily like the Christian folks. And they didn't like the things going on, and they didn't like the popularity of the message going forth. But when they began, the Christian church began in the Jewish church. But still, understand where he's surrounded, and persecution has come. So they're in the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer, and when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. Can you let this live? I mean, he's just escaped from prison. It's the darkness of night. The hounds of heaven are gonna try to chase this man down. He's knocking on the gate, and he probably doesn't want to be too loud. And Rhoda goes, "Wow! That's just like Peter. Oh, man, that's cool." And she leaves him at the gate. "Let's go run and tell everybody else." Wow. So she recognized Peter's voice because of gladness. She did not open the gate. She ran in and she announced, "Hey, Peter's outside." Anybody stop long enough to say, "Why didn't you let him in?" But they said to her, read this out loud with me, please. "You are beside yourself." Any family members ever say that to you? You're just crazy. You're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, oh, well, it's still not Peter. It's his angel. Now look, on their behalf, they had probably prayed just as fervently for James. And James ended up being beheaded. So you can forgive them for probably wondering and not quickly believing. But remember, we need to believe God when we pray. Come on, we need to believe God hears us when we pray. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Has God ever surprised you? Let him surprise you constantly. I'm going to say something. As you know, many of you know me. My first wife passed 17 years ago now. She was probably the finest Christian person I ever knew. Sherry, wouldn't you say that? She was Sherry's best friend. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And then in the middle of the night, we would pray again. We prayed some more. And after 6.5, 7 years, the Lord answered our prayer in this way, with this person, by taking her to himself. And she dances with free lungs that breathe easily as he healed her in his presence. Now, I believe in healing. I also believe in a great big God who does above and beyond all that we ask or think. Remember, he answers. But let him surprise you. They tell Rhoda she's beside herself. She's out of her mind. It can't be Peter. Must be Peter's angels. Real encouragers here. Again, lots of questions. But, you know, imagine if you're Peter. He doesn't want to stir up the neighborhood. Doesn't want everybody to wake up. And he's got to keep knocking at that door. It's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. And Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Wouldn't you be? But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison beyond human possibility. And he said, go tell these things to James and the brethren. Now, Peter's not stupid. How many know Peter realizes he's got to get out of town? He's not stupid. Because I can imagine, as you see the next verses, there probably was half the army of Herod out that night looking for Peter, house to house to house, to find this man. Remember, Peter had escaped by the hand of the Lord once before from guards. You all remember that? How many think that might be part of the reason they had 16 people on him in double doors? It ain't going to happen again. How'd you like to have been the soldier that had to go break the news to your overseer? He's gone. Motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, go tell these things to James, the brethren. He departed and went to another place and watch. God constantly moves. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Acts 12, we see that as soon as it was day, there was no small stir. How many know Luke, the physician, puts it really gently here? There was no small stir. You know what that means? There was a huge problem. There was a huge agitation here among the soldiers about what had come of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards, probably under torture, to get them to tell him how they cooperated with Peter somehow. And he finally commanded that they should be put to death. He went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. This was all about Herod basically denying that God was behind this. He didn't want to face that God was behind it. About 5 verses later, the Lord took care of Herod as he died an excruciating death where either his intestines or his liver was attacked by worms, and they said it was a horrific death, but he was a very proud man who accepted praise because of being a great orator, and the Lord took him. But what did God do? He does answer sometimes by surprise. What was God after? Peter needed Jesus just like we need him today. The church needed Jesus just like we need him today. And you got constant attack. You got constant prayer. You got constant answers and you got things happening constantly and you don't understand why. But what was God after, church? It's right in verse 24. Would you read it with me? But the word of God grew and multiplied. How many know God is on the throne? Come on. How many know God is on the move? How many know Jesus wants to significantly move throughout this earth? The Bible tells us he will fill this earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. We need to not cower in fear when the devil wants to come and throw attack our way. When people don't like you being near, you still rise up with the love of Jesus and you share the love of Jesus with them. Sometimes it's not going to be your words. It's going to be the demonstration of the peace and the presence of God through you. Let's be real believers in this hour and in this day who trust that Jesus is alive and well. And we're going to watch the Word of God grow and multiply. God constantly moves. God always wins. God does more than you ask or think. What do you need Him to do today for you? What prayer do you have in your heart that you're wondering if He hears? What peace do you need? What might just be beyond where you are that you can stand with us this morning and believe God for? Church, let's believe Him. Because God does more than you can expect. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come, please? If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you have a need in your life for the Lord to do something significant for you, we're going to believe God for you this morning. If you need physical healing in your body, there'll be people here who will pray for you. We believe God is good and comforting and loving and kind, even when we don't understand what He does. If you're here and you have not given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. This is your day. He brought you here for a reason. Would you bow your head and just pray with me? Go ahead and pray out loud. Lord Jesus, I see that I'm a sinner lost without you, but you're the Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. I repent of my sin. And I surrender my life to you. I thank you that you hear me. And right now by faith, I receive you. Now, if you need healing, raise your hands. Lord Jesus, we ask you to sweep out across this congregation with others around. Lay hands, as the Bible say, on those with the hands raised. Go ahead. You have to open your eyes to do that so you don't walk into chairs. But look at those who have their hands raised and come on up and join them in prayer. Father, we thank you that you're the God who heals, and we release your healing power upon our brothers and sisters this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, that you are God, and that you're on the throne. Thank you, Lord, that you see, that you hear, that you respond. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power that's released. We release you now in Jesus' name. I want you all to just start saying with me, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Again, I receive your blessing, your power, your anointing, your healing. Lord, we thank you for you do perfect things. Come on, just say it again. Lord, I receive. I receive your strength. I receive your peace. I receive your healing. And I love you, Lord, so much. Now, isn't God good, church? I mean it. Isn't he good? Hasn't it been good to be together? We encourage you, if you're a guest with us this morning, we'll be here next Sunday morning at this time. We invite you as well to our Wednesday night grace gathering. But I want, when you go today, go in the presence and in the joy of the Lord. He loves you so much. And when you go out the door, if things get tough and discouraging, I want you to stop long enough to say, He can do more than I expect and that I think. Come on, say that with me. Let's practice. He can do more than I expect and I think. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now, with your hands raised, receive the blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one more scripture for you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This morning we send your people out this door with joy and rejoicing, Lord, that you're the God who does all things well. We trust you and we believe you, even this day, for more than ever to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. In Jesus' name, and they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the joy of the Lord. Have a great day.